Eurovision, Ireland's number one Eurovision podcast.
Hey everyone, welcome back. Balta Araska Eurovision. I hope you're having a lovely day. Today I am joined, well, me, Alex Basmati, as I'm sure you might know me. I am joined by the beautiful, lovely, stunning, iconic Lou. How are you getting on?
Thanks, beautiful, iconic, stunning Alex, all the same to yourself. What an intro. Thanks, girl. I'm good, thank you. It feels like the waft of International Women's Day is still in the air around these parts. I love it. Guys, Connor is not lost. He's on a little holiday, as he should. So he's off having a lovely time with Luke, the voice of Eurovision. Hope the lads have a great time at the footy. Lads, etc. So yeah, Alex, I'm looking forward to songs with you. We're kind of going back in time a little bit, actually. One of our more recent episodes, we kind of recounted on last weekend's like Mello and San Marino and Portugal and those songs dropping. But we're a little bit behind on the Eurovision podcast. So in true chill Irish fashion, we're just going to go back and have a chit chat about a couple of countries today. And we've had a bit longer to sit with these songs, haven't we, Alex?
Yeah, we have, which is kind of a good thing, I think. Maybe you lose a little bit of perspective. I always like to keep track of my initial reaction, because one thing about Eurovision is I listen to a song and I usually think that initial reaction is most real to what actually happens and most true to what actually happens on the night. And then you start to enjoy songs and you start to, you know, even the ones you maybe weren't mad on, and then you get sucked into the whole of being a Eurovision fan and the whole circus of everything. So yeah, I've had a bit of time to sit with them. Some of them I love and some of them I have no time for, if I'm honest, which is probably a good way to have it in an episode, right? You want a mix of opinions. So I would say half of these songs are proper, like top, well, maybe one, like top five. The other one, quite good. And then the other half, like no time for at all.
So that's kind of fun, because this will leave the viewers, or the listeners, I should say, wondering for the episode which those will be. Out of this selection of songs, Alex and I will be discussing Australia, Azerbaijan, Serbia and the Netherlands. Four very different Eurovision countries as well, with different approaches, different sounds and very different results as of late. You know, like we've had a few in here, like recently non-qualifying, and then we have a few like strongholds, and obviously the Netherlands, who were at the center of a huge controversy last year, but more importantly being at the center of a huge Eurovision banger last year with Joost Klein. But we're not starting with the Netherlands for now. We are heading to kind of the most far-flung Eurovision country, who 10 years ago were announced as the surprise entry into the contest to celebrate the big anniversary at the time. Was it the 60th anniversary? Australia joined us for. So we are discussing, g'day mate, Australia today. And Australia are taking part in Eurovision 2025 with their song Milkshake Man by Gojo. Eurovision. Oh, you want a taste of the Milkshake Man? I can tell you want a taste of the milkshake man. I can tell you want a taste of the milkshake man. The shake is not a drink, it's a state of mind. It's a secret superpower you were born to find. Drink it every day and before you know, you'll be big. All right, so we've heard a little bit of the song there. Gojo rumoured on the scene for a little bit, well known through TikTok, etc. Alex Basmati, you're kind of our TikTok queen. Were you aware of Gojo before this?
I was not. I had definitely seen some of the rumors and even I think a couple of leaks of the song, but obviously you're never sure when it comes out. But no, I had not heard of Gojo. He seems like he definitely has TikTok down. He seems like a very fun, like in the know performer. He definitely knows his strengths. Obviously, he's humorous and he's a good looking man as well. So that always helps with the televote too. Being from Australia as well, you kind of need a little bit of edge, I think. You know, they can't rely on having a lot of neighbors or other countries supporting them. It's really one of the few countries that has to fully do well on their own merit. So they've come back with something like very strong, I would say, like a strong cup of tea. Some people are going to absolutely love it. Some people may be confused by it, but it's definitely not a half, as we say, half-arsed attempt, as we say in Ireland. You know, this is full guns blazing. They've gone with this. And that's, of course, Milkshake Man. Lou, what was your initial reaction to this song?
Total confusion, Alex. On the one hand, you're kind of like, oh, this is boppy. Like, this is... like, yeah, I'm into it. It sounds Australian. He genuinely looks like the quintessential Aussie. Like, I lived in Australia for a while and I saw him and I was like, oh, mullet, like, you know, messy hair. Like, he just has that. He just has this Aussie look about him. Laid back, fun, chill, drawl kind of accent, fun effects on the song. But yeah, as for the song, confusion acts because... boppy, fun. I like the synth. I like the vibe of the song. But like, you can't shy away from the lyrics being like, they feel on the nose. You know, they feel quite daring. They feel quite cheeky. But then when you put that against kind of like the childlike sounding refrain in the song, na na shaking now. It actually like makes me feel a bit uncomfortable or something. It's really weird. The video is like, again, kind of funny and kind of too much. And I don't know, is it just that I haven't found the connection with it yet? Maybe I need to see this like imagined on the stage and maybe this will all click together. I'm streaming it a little bit and then like at times I enjoy it and then other times I skip it. So I don't know how to feel, you know. I think it's getting quite a mixed reception too from fans, which, you know, it's definitely getting people talking. Is it getting them saying the right things though? I don't know. And I feel like I really want to warm to this. I really want to like it, but it hasn't yet clicked. And Australia had one of my favorite entries last year. In general, I think they're a great country to have in Eurovision. Fair play to them. This is definitely a bit of a risk. So, you know, fair use to them for trying that. And Gojo as an artist seems like a really interesting person. I like his image. I like his vibe. I've seen some of his personalities or his, sorry, I've seen some of his interviews and he seems like good fun. So, yeah, I'm like, you know, my backside's hurting sitting on the fence here a little bit, but I just can't seem to lunge off into either side. Do I love it? Do I hate it? Am I indifferent? That's always the worst place to be as well. Indifferent is not what you want in Eurovision. So yeah, total confusion, Alex. How are you feeling?
Yeah, I echo a lot of what you've just said, but I would say I fall more on the negative side. But I'm so shocked. Like, the reception from Eurovision fans has been so positive on this song. When I first heard it, like, I had no idea what other people's opinions would be. And my assumption was that people wouldn't like it. But there is like a very high quality element to this. It's very well produced. The music video is really slick. I do like that it's himself, his girlfriend, and I believe his girlfriend's sister in the video. It's like a really well-made kind of home done video. And that obviously is very personal to them. But I just cannot get past, as he said, the very on-the-nose confronting lyrics that are fully in English. And I just find, if I'm being fully honest, a bit creepy. I don't, it's a bit like a man in a bar that you're trying to get away from a little bit. That's how I feel when I listen to this. I don't feel endeared by it. I feel creeped out by it. And I would actually love to love it. Like, I want to like it, as you said, Louise, but there's just something that gives me, I hate to say it, the ick about this song. And I know there are people who feel like that as well. But as I said, he, I'd say, is going to bring a strong performance. If I'm talking like objectively, it could do really well. It could be staged great. But you also bring up, I don't like the way it's packaged as like kind of a childish fun song, the way Like a Party is. But Like a Party doesn't have like a sexual undertone to it, if we're being frank. It has kind of maybe a bit of adult humor to it, but it's not gross. Like, there's a real adult element to Milkshake Man that, you know, we don't need to go into, but it's pretty obvious that this is a very adult themed song that has this odd like childlike element to it that I just do not like. And yeah, maybe, you know, they'll veer away from that in the live performance. I'd hope they would. But yeah, I just think if this song was maybe in a different language, they could get away with it, as we've talked about lots of times. You know, Ich Hame is similarly, you know, I suppose, has similar undertones, let's say. However, because it's in a different language, you do have that distance. And maybe because it is performed by a woman who is reclaiming something that maybe women have been shamed for years and years, it comes across differently. But yeah, when it's a man and it's so confronting and it's in English and like the metaphors are so obvious, I don't think you can get away from the fact that it's too much to me. It's too much. And I know, Lou, you agree. Like, I hate to say it, I love to love Australia in the competition. They always bring something good. And I feel like this is a good attempt, but there's certain elements to it that just don't sit right with me, you know?
Yeah, I fully get that. For me, the jury's still a little bit out until May, you know. I'm like being cautious, I'm tiptoeing around it a little bit. From my research of Gojo, like, he, like, obviously he's a very creative person and has done really well on TikTok, etc., as we mentioned. He's also apparently well known for kind of street performance he does, where he does like spontaneous little collabs with people passing by on the street, and that's kind of gained him a lot of popularity. People like that kind of creative, spontaneous thing he has going. A good pal of the pod, Glasgow Mihal, we were chatting about this song over the weekend, and he was saying, which I thought was an interesting perspective, that he'd love them to go full hog with the staging in terms of the audience participation, because obviously in that kind of bridge of the song we have, when I say sweet, sweet, you say yum, yum. Or if you listen to our Shocked and Aguela episode, when I say Milshon, you say yum, yum. Which Alex thought would be better, by the way. So,
yeah, I would prefer that version, personally.
But me always making the point, like, he'd love to them to really ham up that audience participation. He was saying, I want them to come out with, like, foam and, like, spray the audience and, like, you know, nearly make it like a mad party down in the audience, like in the pit at the front of the stage. And I think if they can translate something like that across on camera, people at home in a televote-only semi, we have to remember, might connect with that way. Like, oh, wow, that looks like a pure rave in there. Yeah, I mean, look, it's one of many noisy entries this year, isn't it? Like, I think everybody is going to be tested this year by their staging. It's like, get your staging right or go home, you know? And unfortunately for me, Australia are just so hit and miss with that. Like, last year they had the song for me. Like, Alex and Connor liked it as well. Alex, I know you liked it. I know Connor really liked it. And they just fumbled. Like, the stage was so empty. But then, like, we've seen them do Kate Miller Hikey. And like, that was like, you know, staging to aspire to, you know. So who knows what they'll do with this in May and how it will do. Do you think it could qualify, Alex, in its current form?
Yeah, in the televote only semi-final, it 100% can qualify. Which semi-final, remind me? Is it semi-2?
I believe it's semi-1, the lads. Let me just
it's the lads. The lads semi-final.
Lads,
yeah, let's
talk
about
that. He is in... Hang about, Alex. He's not in semi-1. Ho-ho-ho! Misinformation.
Yeah. See, he's semi-2, so he's with the girlines on probably less male-dominated. Wow, yeah. So I think he definitely could. I think if they do mess up the staging. Yeah, would they go for it? Like his party, I think. It has to be us, I think. It has to be like the party because... if they're going the whole hog with the staging, like, I don't know if I'd want to open the competition with that, but it is a bit of fun, so maybe they will look past the other meanings to it. But yeah, I think he definitely could and would be very comfortably passing through. What about you?
Semi-2's hard. Like, even in that half, like, Austria is a big favourite at the minute in that half. Greece have a lot of like fan love. We'll see if that translates on stage. There's ourselves, Latvia with the strong girl group, Lithuania with the band, Montenegro is a write off. I wouldn't worry about them. Yeah, I mean, looking at the lineup, Alex, as you say, like he's got a good chance of standing out. That is going to really benefit them. So, I think. If I recall it, I'd say, yeah, he'll make it through. But it's all hinging on that staging. If it's messy, if it's amateur hour, we could have another Australia NQ. I feel like SBS don't want that, though. You know, like last year was unfortunate for them. So let's see what happens. All right. So Australia as a country, very much not even on the periphery of Europe. It's very much, you know, other side of the world we're talking to Europe. But a country that is on the periphery of Europe with very checkered results in recent times is Azerbaijan. Alex, what entry is Azerbaijan sending this year?
So Azerbaijan are sending the song Run With You, Maga Mama Gama is the name of the band. Eurovision. They are from Azerbaijan. I know, like, and they have written this song, I believe. I know usually they went through a period of having a lot of outside help, which they have kind of veered away from in the last couple of years. This band have a very unique sound, I will say, that the main singer has nearly an Adam Levine, like Maroon 5. It's very high voice. It definitely stands out. Like if you listen to some of their live performances, it's not your average typical voice, which could help them, but it could also go quite wrong. The song itself, I don't hate, but I don't love. It does sound quite modern, kind of mid-tempo, I would say. Maybe one of the more modern sounding songs in the competition this year. The music video is very well done. You have to give it to them. It's not like I wouldn't choose it to go through, but I do like at least that they're going with their own talent now and not going with, you know, what they were doing for a while, which was getting Swedish songwriters and, you know, help from other countries. So it's a bit more authentic. And look, if they make it through, at least it's with their own talent. And I totally understand how that sounds coming from an Irish person with someone Norwegian with a song about a Russian dog in space. But like, that is not, I don't think, a direction that we've been going in or will go in. I think it's just the way that Eurosong panned out this year. And yeah, I don't think Yeah, it's what the people wanted. It's not a strategy from Ireland, you can say. No. It's just what the people wanted this year. Whereas they definitely had a strategy, which didn't, yeah, it wasn't very authentic. So, yeah, if I was to give like an overall summary of my opinion on the song, it would be meh, but it's not terrible. What about you?
Yeah, I have more to say than I thought I was going to, actually, Alex. I was very similar to yourself. I was like, meh. Not going to have much to say here on the pop, but after like having done a bit of research about them before, like just for the nerds amongst us, because y'all know I love a silly fact or a stat to throw in to the conversation. They have kind of like interesting connections already to Eurovision, whereby the vocalist of the band, and I really agree with you, Alex, I really hear the Adam Levine sound in there. Actually, the first time I heard the song, I was thinking of Ollie Alexander years and years, that slight falsetto. I definitely hear it. But yeah, the lead singer of the band actually took part in The Voice, and his mentor was Polina Gagarina. So I'm presuming that's The Voice Russia, or like that region anyway. 2015 participant for Russia was his mentor. Would you actually believe they have also participated, the band, in one of Albania's like main music festivals, which goes alongside Festival Ikingas. They are kind of known in Albania for promoting their song Dreamer, and they got a big prize in the international artist category of that festival, Kenga Majik. They also applied to represent Azerbaijan in 2023, and they got to the final five, but they ended up going with Chiral Tran, the duo you might remember who were in Liverpool. So they've been on the periphery of Eurovision for a while, basically. But yeah, as for the song Run With You, it's a really easy listening. It's very much to me like a Spotify playlist track. I don't know why, but it's giving like H&M playlist, or like, I don't know, Zara, one of those stocks. I really feel that. Just easy listening. You could kind of bop along, get the like ha 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 of the chorus. The video is interesting. Like, there's some interesting visuals in there. No idea how they'll stage it at all. Will they make it futuristic or scientific, like in the video? Who knows? I mean, like the stat, like the bricks aren't stacking nicely for Azerbaijan here. I've got to say, like semi one in itself. When you're in a semi-final with Sweden, Ukraine and Norway and you're a small country, you do just have to ask why, you know? Like, I'm not just saying this because it's Azerbaijan, but it would make you want to go out and buy a load of SIM cards. Do you know what I mean? It's not good for the average country. And then within their half, like Albania is in their half. And regardless of what you think, Albania of the song, Albania is going to really stand out there with what they're offering, and like they have that folky sound. I know like Run With You has that kind of folky like instrumental interlude, which is really nice, but I personally think Albania does it much better, and they have it running throughout the song, so that could override them there. Belgium, like we've got Red Sebastian with an incredible falsetto that we know he can do live very well, so that could kind of overlook them. Croatia, we don't talk about her as of yet. We don't have Cyprus a song yet. Netherlands, we'll talk about later, but we know it's going to be quality, right? Norway, you and Connor spoke about pure quality, no doubt about it. And San Marino's got like the really fun poppy element that this doesn't have. Like this song takes itself a bit more seriously. So like on all cylinders, I think Azerbaijan's going to be overshadowed in this semi.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of okay with that. For me, let's box this up maybe and leave this in semi one. Look, if they package this to the nines, I could be proven wrong, but we're waiting for May, Alex, for the lads in semi one.
We are. And I mean, when we talk about meh, this next country, I fear talking about it, because it is, in my opinion, the personification of meh, can I say.
We'll come to them, but we're going to take a brief interlude.
Thank you. I need to, because I need some breathing room before we get into even worse.
I know. I feel you, sis. I feel you. Let's take a quick break and head to Killungra. Jeeve Gochtina of Spulter Arrest, Cholangro, the part of the pod that is one of my faves where we spread our graw and our love for Gaeilge, for the Irish language. Now, normally I tell you, dear listeners, that this is kind of my quest to improve Connor's graw on Gaeilge and his learning in Gaeilge. But no, this time Connor is off on his Zira, he's off on holidays. And Alice put me, Alice? Who is Alice?
Oh, hi, Alice. Is there another co-host we don't know of?
Shh, don't tell her. My apologies. Rorum. Alex put me to the test last time in our Shocking the Gaeilge episode, which I highly recommend you check out if you haven't yet, guys. Well worth a listen, if I do say so myself. But yes, Alex put me to the test.
It's okay, we can change my name. I'm happy.
Am I trying to go?
I guess you've been recording. Okay.
I don't know what I'm doing. But anyway, it's my turn. Alex is in the hot seat this time. I'm the mentor. She's going to get a froze. She's going to try her best to figure out what it is and what its correlation to Eurovision is. All right. Oh, Alex. Roll on Shachtan Shuh. No. Shin on sail.
Like, that's life. That's the life.
Yep. But the Berla isn't. You need to go a step further with the Berla there.
Shin on sail.
Yeah, so you're correct with your translation. That's life.
Do you That's life. Yeah? That's what people say.
Wow, we're getting vocals. We're getting the glory.
So is this like a lyric that I'm adding on to or something? Or is it like in reference to something?
Yes, it's to do with the song from this year. I tend to make my Kyolong growl to do with something in the episode. So think about That's Life and translate it again.
C'est la vie. Na-na-na-na. Nam-nam-nam-da.
Give us the ding. Ding. She got it.
I love it.
Netherlands. Which we will come to very shortly, but we've got to go take a mess stop somewhere else first. So stay with us, guys, with that exciting interlude. All we have to say is slong the phone.
Go phone.
All right, Alex, we've been really hyping this next one up. We've been really positive. Who's coming up?
Oh my God, I think this is one of my least favorite, if not the least favorite of the year. But like, I don't even have feelings towards it. That's how bad it is. I'm sorry. Serbia, Prink, Mila. Do you want to kick us off? Because I don't really have anything to say.
I mean, do I want to? No. Do I have to? Like, probably at some point I'll need to discuss it. Milan means dear. And like, oh dear, oh dear. This is so dated. Like, it's just, it's so, I'm out here fighting for my life, trying, like, I always try and see the positive in entries. I feel like I'm, that's a strength I have. I can find positives in almost everything. But God, Alex, I'm really struggling with this one. The song is dated. It's really unlikable. I hate to say this. I don't find him likable. I find it really hard to watch the performance. It's just not interesting. There's not enough going on. They even make good attempts towards the end of the song with like the LED floor, and I'm just not connecting to it at all. It all just feels really weird, inauthentic. I mean, Serbia is meant to be kind of like, it's a bit of a mini powerhouse in Eurovision, you know? Like, they have a really strong qualification streak. I thought Ramonda was a really beautiful entry last year. We've had some really solid entries from Serbia, and unfortunately, this is just not one of them. There's not much redeemable here either. I mean, I know, like, Euro fans, I know I'm one of them, we love to mention, maybe there'll be a revamp, maybe there's hope. I mean, you can only polish a turd so much, right? Like, I don't know what they could do with this other than changing the song, maybe changing the performer. Yeah, and I hate to be a negative Nelly, but this is one of the few entries this year I can't. And I think even for Balkan ballad lovers, like, I think there's merit to be found in Montenegro and their entry this year, even though, like, that's not personally for me. I think Balkan ballad lovers could find something in Montenegro. I mean, I'm happy to be proven wrong. If there's any Balkan ballad lovers out there who want to reach out and say, no, I love Serbia, but I'd be surprised if there are, to be honest.
I agree. No revamp yet. What did you say? Sorry,
I'm out here with my stick bashing it. Are you able to mop up, Alex, or are we at the piñata stage?
Oh no, I've got the piñata out. I'm already, you know, half into it. Oh, Jesus, I'm sorry. This song, you said it, like, not even a revamp could say this. It's one of those songs that we will not be talking about in 1, 2, 3 years' time. I could see this coming up on YouTube in a few years and me not remembering it at all. Like, as you said, Balkan ballad, but no, has no heart to it for me. And yeah, I don't find it appealing. I don't really understand why it was selected, but that's what they've gone with. And that's what will be on stage in Basel, but I will not be enjoying it. And that's all I've really got to say. There's just nothing really redeemable to me about this. And I do skip it every single time it comes up for me. Have we bashed it enough are we okay to... Oh, you've more? Okay, go.
I've more, right? Because I always like to look at where, like, what semi it's in, what half, what's around it, Alex. So I'm going to read out to you what is in the second half of, what is it, semi-final 2. We've got Czechia, Kiss Kiss Goodbye, Denmark, Hallucination, Finland, Ikoma, Georgia, No Song Yet, Israel's There, Luxembourg, La Poupée, Monte de Saint, Lausanne, Malta, Kant, and then Serbia. So, like, maybe, like, potentially, or definitely take two of those others out that I've mentioned. But you've got Kant, you've got Erica Vickman, you've got Czechia being really loved by the fans, you've got Hallucination. Like, this is just going to be eaten alive. I don't see any path for this to qualify, personally. At all.
Yeah, it's going to totally be swallowed in that semi-final, but I don't think it would have done any better in semi-final 1. It's just, no matter where you put that, it was not going to do well. And it's probably lucky. It's second half, right? Like, they're lucky to have that.
Totally. And like, in terms of friends, they have Montenegro, obviously. And like, given the language and cultural similarities, it would make sense for Montenegro to give this point. Potentially Greece may also, I can't be sure, but there's genuinely nobody else I think will go for this. So like, it's they're stuck in a hole. I don't know how they're going to get out of it, really, in semi two. And look, we all have to have an off year, and I'd be very surprised if this is not Serbia's off year.
Yeah.
Shall we pick things up a bit? Shall we?
Thank God. Thank God. Yeah. I've been like in the meh zone for too long. I need to listen to something good that I can get behind, that I can actually talk about. And that song, we've already mentioned it in the episode, C'est la vie by Claude.
That's life, Alex. Let's give it an intro. Let's give it the proper intro it deserves. We are moving on to a country very dear to our hearts, the Netherlands. I was about to say Jost Klein. It's not Jost Klein anymore. It is Cloud with C'est la vie. Eurovision. Sometimes in love, sometimes miserable. And I still hear my mama's voice inside of me. La melodie. Eurovision.
What an entry from the Netherlands. This is insane. This is so good. This is probably my number three at the moment. I think it's being slept on a lot by the fandom because it's kind of mid-tempo, but it's the kind of song, in my opinion, that you can have. It's going to get public love, but it's also going to get jury love because it has a really nice, deep, beautiful message to it, but it's also danceable. When I first listened to it, I love how it starts out like this really beautiful. It's obviously in French as well, which, you know, for the Netherlands is really cool. And yeah, I love how it starts out. It's so intimate, beautiful. Like, French is such a gorgeous language, you have to say, like such a romantic language. So then once that beat kicks in, like it can take you so many places. That's something you can play with so much, is having something really small and then grow that. And then you can bring a moment. Like, that's already, we're only a minute into the song and we have two big moments or things to play with. And then it goes on. And the music video was beautiful. His fashion is amazing. I love the big red coat that he wears. And yeah, I love the meaning behind it. You know, I think a lot of people are going to get behind this. It's perfect for juries, I think. You know, there's nothing so far that I can think that they'd write against it. And then public, like, it's upbeat enough that the public will enjoy it, if that makes sense. And I think it can absolutely get through. They just need to stage it right. And if they bring what they brought in the music video, you know, they definitely can do that with some great visuals. And since we were talking about the semi-finals and the draw in the allocation, I'll bring up, this is in semi-final one in the second half. Second half is always a good place to be. And also we have to mention, like, having a person of colour in the competition is really important for representation. It's something that we've talked about before on the show. And yeah, I think it's very, very important because it's not something we see enough of, if I'm being real. You know, we really don't get enough diversity when it comes to you know, people on stage, and yeah, people of color in Eurovision is something that they really need to improve on. So yeah, I think, especially because it is touching on a topic affecting a lot of European people as well, like moving away from your home country and fleeing war. Yeah, it's just a really, really special message, I think, and something that will touch a lot of hearts. but then also has a bit of groove to it and something that you can move to. And even if you're not reading into the deep lyrics, you can still have fun with this, you know? What about you?
Alex, I have to say, like, I really agree with you. I totally agree this is being slept on in general. The number one word here that comes to mind is likable. Everything about this entry is likable. Most of all, Cloud himself. Like, you know, the Netherlands had a tough old year last year in the context of Eurovision. It was up in the air. Were they coming back? They were in negotiations. There was legal things going on. It was messy. It was, you know, and Jost Klein was so loved last year, and we can't shy away from that. It was very difficult, really, for them to follow up everything that happened. And it was probably not an easy task to follow up Europapa, a huge smash hit, by far and away the most streamed song from last year, beloved in the Netherlands. And people love that song still. And Jost Klein, obviously, now having great popularity across Europe, like with Carrie and Tommy Cash and Erica, like that kind of cool crew or whatever you want to call them. But when I saw they announced Cloud, I was so delighted because the Netherlands is one of those countries that I keep in touch with their music scene a little bit. Like I follow some of their TV shows. I follow some of their artists. So he had been on my radar. He had a big banger last year and it was kind of went la 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 la. Lovely like EDM bass track. And the kids in the Netherlands loved it. They were all about it. So he's really fresh. He's really cool. He's like on trend with what the Netherlands are enjoying on their radio in the mainstream. So he was the perfect artist to pick because it's a fresh start. It's a clean slate for the Netherlands. They're not, you know, Jost Klein didn't want to participate again with the new song. I think it was the right way to go. Fresh person, fresh song. But also on the song, C'est la vie, this to me is so timeless. Like this song could do well in almost any edition of modern Eurovision. You know, like it wouldn't have sounded too modern in 2015, but it's not going to sound outdated in 2035, you know? And I think like especially with the use of French language, like obviously we know Cloud is from the Congo and this is one of like his first languages, and also like French is a big language in the Netherlands anyway. But you can be at risk sometimes with French language entries of going cliche with the lyrics because it's a universally well understood language in terms of its phrasing and like what people know. But I personally think when you look at the lyrics, they have a beautiful flow from the French to English. And I personally find, as someone with like a moderate understanding of French, the song's very easy to understand. C'est la vie, she sang to me, je peux rappeler, j'étais petit. Oh, I was just a little boy, but I remember la mélodie. And then it goes into this, c'est comme ci, c'est comme ça. It goes up, it goes down and around, que sera, oui, sera, me voici, me voilà, un, deux, trois. And it just flows really nicely, really good production, really clean. The dancing is beautiful in the video, as you mentioned, Alex. There's so much potential for what they could do on stage. And my first initial thought to wrap up the TED Talk is when I first heard this, I thought, I think a jury are going to eat this up. If they can translate this well on the Eurovision stage, I see this doing really, really well with a jury in the final, because I don't doubt, I think it's going to have a strong enough televote in that semi. And it's a tough semi, but I see the Netherlands doing it. How it will do in the ultimate televote, I really don't know. But I think this is hopefully going to be a really good, respectable placement for the Netherlands. A great platform for this super talented artist. I agree with you about his fashion and everything. He's just so likable. I'm just really rooting for him. And it's great that the Dutch have something to be proud of. It's fantastic that they can hopefully come out of Eurovision 2025 with a more positive end. You know, last year was so devastating for the Dutch, the way everything happened. So yeah, I'm really, really hopeful for this one. And I just I'm willing it to do well. I think it deserves to. It's such good quality. And all that remains to be said is c'est la vie. C'est la vie.
Yeah. Like, it is mad. The Dutch entries are so diverse. When you look at the last, like, 3-4 years, there's no one pattern. Like, we had a Dutch ballad. Then we had, like, a really quiet, intimate English, you know, duet. Then we had Joost Klein, like, iconic, in its own league, you know, but still in kind of the quirky universe. And then this song is nearly its own league again. It's French, another language in the mix. It's upbeat, but it's intimate and fun, but touching at the same time. Like, you really have to give, you know, take your hat off to them, because that is really good quality entries, but such diversity. They're not going for one thing. You know, I love Cyprus and I love their entries, but they have a strategy and they kind of do a bit of a rinse and repeat. Whereas I do really appreciate that the Dutch have consistent quality, but also, you know, go for a bit different each time. So yeah, I have to shout them out for that. And yeah, I just love this song. I can't wait to see how they stage it.
Totally. I hope he gets such a hero's welcome at Amsterdam in concert, you know, being the headliner. Because when I went last year, the vibe there for Joost Klein was palpable. Like, everyone was so excited to see him. So I really hope Cloud gets the same treatment. And I expect that he will, because the Dutch really like him as an artist. He's already in the mainstream. And I mean, like, I'm liking what Ireland's doing. But one thing I would love is to have slightly more of the mainstream artists that Irish people already enjoy come along and show an interest in Eurovision, you know? So it can only be a positive thing. And like, it's just, the Dutch just have a great broadcaster, I think, in general. I think it's not impossible, actually, that they could win again in the next decade. And listen, I would not be mad. Love Amsterdam. Rotterdam's cool. We could try Maastricht, you know?
Yeah, let's do it.
Who knows? Who knows? So Alex, I'm glad we ended on a more positive note, because you girls were out here struggling for some of this episode, let's be honest.
We really were. Well, yeah, thank you, the Netherlands, for not only giving us a great entry, but also saving this episode and allowing us to have, you know, some nice things to say.
So, yes, indeed, all we have time for today. Really enjoyed chatting with you, Alex. Thanks for joining, and wishing Connor happy sports ball wherever he is right now in the world. But yes, guys, it's coming to the end of this national final season, and we're going to have our quick fires starting up very, very soon, sooner than you think. Make sure you're following us everywhere so you don't miss any of it. You can follow us on Instagram, Eurovision Podcast. That's one of our most active places. Also on TikTok, Alex, you're killing it at the minute, girl. Living for some of the content up from the Melfest watch party recently. We're on Facebook as well. We're on Blue Sky, X, or Twitter at Eurovision Pod. Send us a message, comment on our post, send us a voice message, and let us know what you think of our opinions. Maybe you agree, maybe you disagree. That makes the world go round. And c'est la vie. You can email us, of course, at EurovisionPodcast@gmail.com. And if you like what we do, don't forget to give us a review on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts, because it helps other Eurofans to find us. We also really appreciate any support you can give us on Buy Me a Coffee, because that helps us to run episodes like these on a Tuesday eve, helps us with equipment, helps us with travel costs, merchandise, etc. It is always so appreciated. buymeacoffee.com/Eurovision. If you like what we do, all the links in our linked trees in all of our bios. But Alex, now we've done all that fun stuff, hoping to chat to you soon, girl. Are you looking forward to the last few songs dropping?
I'm very excited. I feel like they're going to be very good. Save the best for last. Why not?
We're crossing all the fingers. We're crossing all the fingers. And soon enough, we'll have a full library of Eurovision 2025. And the race will be on for the rehearsals. So, c'est la vie. I'm just going to keep saying it. But after that, all we both have to say until the next episode is
slow down. Slow down. Oh. Meet me in Paris on the Champs-Élysées.